Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is Victoria. I am an alcoholic and chairperson for today's meeting.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
We open AA meetings with a serenity prayer, and I invite you to join me.
God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So every AA meeting starts also with the preamble, which is Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of men and women who have a drinking problem. It is non-professional, self-supporting, multiracial, apolitical, and available almost anywhere. This is not the preamble, but we are reading it off the website because we do not have it today. Do you want me to finish it?
No, I think we'll read a different one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll find another one.
Or do you want me to just do the preamble for you?
Yeah,
Richard, would you mind?
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect or denomination, politics or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard. So we have, is it Saturday night?
Saturday Night
Fever. Fantastic. So we have Saturday Night Fever in the studio with us. So that's a Saturday night 6 p.m. group. And I would like to ask Mark to please read how it works.
Sure.
Hi Mark.
AA Big Book. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh dear. Yeah. How about now?
Yeah.
So starting?
Yeah.
Chapter 5, How It Works, page 58. Rarely have we seen a person who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was no until we let go, absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends for them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and the practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us have exclaimed, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. C, that God could and would if he were sought.
Thanks, Mark. So you are listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. We're broadcasting on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And if I could ask Richard to share, please.
My name's Richard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Richard.
I started drinking at a young age. I was born and raised around alcohol. I would drink mainly because my childhood issues. Then I drank right through my teenagehood, right through pretty much all day, every day. My drinking took me to some pretty dark places. I gave up everything to drink in order to control my what was going on in my head. Even drunk when I was become homeless and living on the streets, I used to drink 24/7. Go to sleep drunk, wake up drunk. My drinking took me to jail, put me in institutions, danced around residential units, and just went on a real dark ride for a few years. And then 7 years ago, I decided to sober up, got a sponsor, and I remember one of the first things he said to me, your first year is going to be your easiest year, which I disagree with. My first 2 years were hell on two legs. I, in the process of sobering up, I found out that I had anxiety and depression issues, which I had to get help for. And 7 years on, I've been clean and sober. I celebrate my 7th year on the 2nd of February, just gone. And I'm part of the Saturday night, Saturday night meeting in St. Mary's. And I've been clean and sober ever since. I'll leave it there, thanks.
Thanks, Richard.
Richard?
Yep, I'll share. Yeah, hi, my name's Richard and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Richard.
and a grateful member of AA, and my home group is Saturday Night Fever, Central Wellington. My drinking story. Well, my drinking story started before I drank. I had that classic emotional melody of an alcoholic, where I kind of always felt like I didn't fit in and didn't quite know how to sort of live life properly from a really young age, and I had all that I had all these ideas of, you know, what would make my life full. I even had it with toys. I used to get this, once I get Sky Electrics, my life's going to change, so I'd get Sky Electrics and I'd get all that high feeling for a short period of time, and of course I ended up, with a lot of toys, but nothing ever filled it. I always had that feeling slightly indifferent to people, and then and I did the classic, drinking, sharing a bottle of cider with a, group of guys in parks and out night fishing and stuff. But then I had at 15 years of age, I had my real first proper drinking in public. It was in a back pub, backroom pub of a policeman's pub in a country village, and I had my first proper real drink. Drank 3 pints of what then was called Snakebite, which was lager and black. Was horrendously drunk. I can remember laying over this log, being horrendously ill, and then blacked out. And I did, and I woke up the next day, and I was like, I felt really ill, but I can't. But I remembered that feeling that I got from it. It was like I fitted in. I'm in the back room of this pub playing pool with the boys, and I just kind of got that. I understand and I know how to do life, and it clicked. It was like, yeah, this is it. I've got it. I know how to handle life. And then I spent probably about 25 years trying to chase that feeling again. And I often say it was about half an inch of 1 pint of beer gave me that feeling of like of ease that I fitted in. I knew how to do life. I knew how to play the game the same as everyone else. But of course, inevitably, I was an emotionally overreactive drinker. I knew way before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a problem drinking. I didn't know I was an alcoholic, but I had that thing where, when I drank, I never knew how my emotional state was going to go. Generally, I'd go aggressive. I was most definitely an angry drunk once I'd had a skinful. But sometimes I'd go depressive, and sometimes I'd be the light and soul of the party. So I spent a long time kind of dancing around my drinking, trying to find that one little spot that made me fit in, but the rest of it was always chaotic. So me being me, I'd always geographic somewhere else, and I did that for a long time. I was a functional alcoholic. I knew how to work. I could work and, make money and hold jobs down for a period of time, but inevitably my behavior would always get extreme. I never connected it to the alcohol. I always thought it was just me. The same, I had all this kind of picture of almost like this Charles Dickens novel of a childhood, coming from a really poor background and then mum marrying into wealth and going to a posh private school. And so I had all these woe is me, I'm an understood person. So of course I just moved all around the UK and around different countries. Eventually I managed to settle with a woman for about 8 years and had a child, but of course my drinking and my other substance uses is, just got too much. My life was always unmanageable. I could keep it together a while and things would start dominoing and falling over, and I blame everyone else, and that relationship fell apart, and I was my drinking went to a whole new depth. And then I did another one of my controlled not drinking, which I was good at, to look the right way to get the right girl, or to get the job or the contract that I wanted. And had another child and did my last big geographic to New Zealand. And I remember starting drinking again, thinking, they only drink these little bottles of like 3-odd% spates. I'm used to pints of Stella. I'll be all right. Within 3 years, my life was going off the rails again. And I remember coming up, waking up one morning out of a blackout, knowing I'd had another domestic with my partner, and I had my partner stood there with my boy, saying word for word exactly the same things about me, about my behaviour, about my drinking, as my previous partner with my daughter. And I suddenly realised and went, ah, these two have never met each other. And I knew at that moment it was me, and I connected it to my drinking. So I was on a real, real physical hangover from that. And that's where it got hard, because I tried to stop drinking, and I'd reached that point in my drinking career, I just couldn't do it. You know, so I fell in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, pretty broken, really depressed, quite suicidal. You know, my drinking story really is kind of the average drinking story of an alcoholic, but my recovery story is the one story that's solely mine, and I know that through hearing other people's. You know, I didn't do the come in the door, pick up the program straight away and right, this is it, and I'm getting a sponsor and do the 12 steps and my life's going to become amazing. You know, it took me a lot of emotional pain and a period of time before I started really working this program and working through the steps with a sponsor and gradually learning how to tell another man about how I really felt, because I'd never ever done that in life. I'd always put whatever mask on I thought everyone needed. So AA has given me that ability to be able to be honest about who I am. I don't always want to do that, but I know that's where I get that peace. And where I now get that, I fit in. And the reason I fit in is because I try my best to be a decent person. I most definitely don't get it right all the time. But the more I work this program, the better I am about myself and the less chance I've got, I hope, of picking up a drink. Because that's what my makeup is. Is if life gets too hard, or I think that people don't care, or too many parts of my life start getting unmanageable, my preset is to pick up a drink or a drug or run or take another prisoner of a relationship to try and fill that hole. So AA works for me, long as I keep trying to live by this program. And I'm grateful for that. And it's nice to do a meeting on there. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Richard. So just a reminder, you're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on Air. And if you or anyone you know can relate to what's been shared today, you can get in contact with Alcoholics Anonymous. Talk to a sober alcoholic. There is a phone line 24 hours a day, and it's 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. And you can find this and other podcasts either on the Alcoholics Anonymous site. We also have these podcasts on the Access Radio site, and I also believe they're on iTunes. This radio show also has a Facebook page, AA on Air Wellington. So you can post there or send us a message. We always get around to responding to them eventually. But yeah, it's nice to hear from you. So I will ask Lockie this year.
I'm now Alcoholic.
Hello.
Yeah, I guess I'll do my quick story and then we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I started drinking really young. I would have been sort of 12, 13. I really liked it from the get-go. I think, I'm not sure if I was born with the disease, but very quickly, I was just drinking till blackout. That was just the regular way I drank. And I think internally it really filled a sort of void in me very quickly. And I discovered that it was a really, really easy way to escape from all of the things that were going on in my life. I don't know if I can blame my alcoholism on all the shitty things I've done in my life, but definitely alcohol's been there through, you know, just through all of the really terrible, terrible things that I've managed to achieve in my career as an active alcoholic. I fought with the knowledge that I was an alcoholic, I think, for a long, long time. Before I managed to drag myself through the doors of AA, that was probably getting sober is the best thing I've ever done in my life. Before sobriety now, and I'm just coming up to 2 years sober, is a completely different life, and I feel like not a completely different person, but a person that's been given a completely new life now that I'm sober. Sometimes I catch myself looking back during the times when I was drinking, and man, it's just like another life, and it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, just to remember how desperate I actually was when I came in the door for the very first time, how stuck I was, how much I knew I was stuck and a slave to alcohol. And coming from that place to where I am now is like just the biggest blessing in my entire life. This program has helped me develop spiritually, has given me a new and stronger social circle of people that I trust and I care about. And when I look in the mirror, the person I see is just universes away from the sort of wretch that I used to look in the mirror to every day, and the hopelessness that I would feel, and that hole inside of me that just like could never be filled. All those things. Getting sober is the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. I'm so grateful to be sober. And, you know, I don't have anything else to say apart from that. So, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Lachie.
Dean, would you like to share?
Kia ora koutou. My name's Dean. I'm an alcoholic. The other people who shared from AA tonight, today, clearly my drinking story is pretty similar, but obviously clearly when I was an alcoholic I thought I was completely unique and my life was different from everyone else's, and it wasn't until I actually came into the room that I realised that my drinking story wasn't individual and there was other people that shared similar stories to me as well. So really my drinking story started from a really young age, I guess, like it was shared before from other people that have shared that. I clearly had the addictive personality or the alcoholism before I even picked up my first drug or drank. Like toys was for me as well. I had a mental obsession from a very young age with anything that I got fixated to. If I wanted it, I'd sleep on it, I'd breathe it, I'd do anything to actually get that. And when I'd get that toy, for an example, then clearly I'd only have it for a week or two, and then I'd want something else. So I come from a family where my father was an alcoholic. He was a generational alcoholic. So my grandfather was an alcoholic too, and clearly alcoholism affected my father's side of the family pretty much a lot. So my father clearly was, he left at a young age. My mum kicked him out because his alcoholism was pretty bad, and he couldn't even support a family. So then it was just me, my mum, and my sibling at that stage. And clearly through those years as well, my mother chose to be with men that obviously had alcohol or addictive personalities. So even though my mum didn't drink or even smoke, I clearly was around alcohol. I never thought I'd become an alcoholic. I didn't want to become an alcoholic for that such. And I remember the young age that I remember that I never said to myself that I would never drink. I never wanted to actually touch and drink alcohol. By the age of 14, I started drinking, and I thought that all my problems in my world could actually dissolve from just drinking. And I clearly remember the first time I got drunk, and that, you know, I didn't fit in. I was, you know, I come from a family of mixed race. I was, you know, raised by a solo mother in a state house, in a state area. And then clearly, you know, I just thought that by drinking that I could actually use alcohol to escape my feeling of isolation, etc. So I guess with me, to cut my drinking story a bit further down the track, I remember first going into rehab at the age of 17 for drugs and alcohol, and I didn't think I had a problem and everyone else had the problem. So therefore I went back out there and experimented for the next 13 years of my life, and in those 13 years of my life I had a child, had a partner, and clearly it was interesting because my partner that I had a child with, was also an alcoholic, but clearly wasn't admitting that she was. And about 30, I came back into the rooms of AA, and I didn't think it was me. I didn't think I was wrecked enough or damaged enough to actually be in the room, so I went back out there for another 10 years until I realised when I came back again that the last time that clearly I was an alcoholic. For me, it's been one of those things that in recovery. I've only been 8 months sober, but I've had to look back on my life and reflect and see where I've actually gone wrong. I blame my whole life on my father, everyone else, for the reasons why my life is so miserable and so unfunctional or unmanageable. But clearly no longer can I blame others for my disease, and I have to admit that I'm actually an alcoholic, and everything that led up to that point was me, my ownership for that. I know that in my life that I've always chosen to be in relationships with women, especially that are alcoholics, because it's easy to be like that, because then I don't have to look at myself and change. And I guess in these 8 months of recovery, it's been a hard journey, and it's been said before that recovery isn't easy, but the rewards clearly as you go through the program come into fruition, and you can start to see them. The only reason I really know that this for me it's working this time around is the last time I drank, I was absolutely and totally broken into a million pieces, and I knew that it was then that I had to change my life and actually come into the rooms with an open heart and mind, with my ego at the door, and completely surrender to a higher power and to the program as such. I know when I drank towards the end of my drinking in the last 2 years, I couldn't control my behaviour. I became erratic, unpredictable, angry, and I could keep going. And it wasn't even when I was drinking, it was when I was actually not drinking as well as an active alcoholic that I was irritable, restless and discontent, and I just anything would trigger off my emotions. I know for me as such, as an alcoholic, that now since I've stopped drinking and I'm in recovery, this journey is hard, but it is rewarding as such, because I've realised that before I drank, I was a child that had problems, and then clearly after I stopped drinking, I'm a man that still has problems. But just because I've stopped drinking doesn't mean that my problems are going away, and I actually have to face life on life's terms for once. And actually, instead of running, I ran wherever I could, because I couldn't deal with looking at myself in the mirror. And it took me almost to 41 years of age to actually look myself in the mirror and actually realise that I can look at myself, and I do have the respect, you know, for myself now. Every day that I'm in recovery is another day that I can look at myself and start to be honest. And it says in the big book too, you know, the only way this program will ever work for you is if you're completely and totally, utterly honest with yourself and with your fellows and with other people around you. So I know that for me, that it all started when I first walked into the room this time properly in the last 8 months, that I had to be honest with myself, and I could no longer admit, you know, I had to admit to myself that my life was, you know, was unmanageable, and I was completely powerless over alcohol. And clearly that's the first step of AA, and it was that step there, along with being completely and utterly and totally broken, was the, you know, where the darkness was. But there I found the light, and the light was actually coming into the rooms, actually getting a sponsor, doing the steps, and putting all my work into the program. I know myself that I didn't get sober by myself this time. I did it with the people within the fellowship. And for those that are out there listening, if I or other people in this room in AA and people in AA can get sober, you can too. All it means is if you have a desire to stop drinking, then that's the only requirement to enter into AA. So for any of those out there that are listening that have problems with alcohol, the best thing you can do is talk about it with someone or enter into the room. And as the promises in AA say, that you'll be amazed what can actually happen to you halfway through the program. So, yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dan. Just a reminder, you're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. And, yeah, as has been shared, if you or anyone you know relates to what's being shared and you're wanting a bit of help, you can call Alcoholics Anonymous in New Zealand on 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. If you're overseas, if you look for AA online, almost every country has a website where you can find meetings. And now I will ask Mark to share.
Okay, thanks, Victoria. My name's Mark. I'm an alcoholic. yeah, so first got
first got drunk when I was 16. I think that's where it all started. I was secondary school student. Started relatively late compared to some of my companions, but just made an absolute fool of myself in front of my school friends and wound up just being a total idiot and throwing up all over the place. But at the same time, I loved it. I thought I'd discovered, I don't know what it was that I thought I'd discovered, but it was like I'd found something that had been missing all of my life. It's like a missing piece to a jigsaw puzzle, I suppose. Anyway, I guess over the years, it just became more and more frequent. When I was a secondary school student, I was maybe getting drunk, really, really drunk, once a month. When I was a university student, it started out as once a week, and then it just got into once a day. And at the end of the day, what happened was just got out of control, and I couldn't control it. And I couldn't go through a day without it was very rare that I could go without a day without taking a drink or possibly a drug. I just couldn't do it. And even the thought of having to go through an entire day without having any sort of fix was actually terrifying. And it actually scared me. It actually scared me more going through a day without having anything than, just going through a day without having anything. I don't know really what I was so scared of. I don't know if it was my own head or my own feelings or what it was, but it just absolutely terrified me. And I just couldn't control it. I could maybe go, at best, I could maybe last a week if I stopped everything and really, really pulled in an effort, but I'd always find some excuse. And it didn't really matter, an excuse could be the All Blacks won, the All Blacks lost, it was sunny weather, it was bad weather, it didn't really matter. I passed the paper at university, I failed a paper at university. Any excuse at all to pick up a drink. And the only person I was really fooling was myself. Friends would say, you shouldn't drink so much at parties, you should make a fool of yourself. You shouldn't drink so much when you go out to the pubs in town, you make a fool of myself. My family members were saying, you just watch how much you're drinking. I think you're drinking too much, but I didn't want to listen. I knew better than everyone. I went to a rehab in, it was 2001 now, down in Hamlet Springs, Queen Mary. And that's when I think it really started to hit home, what I had, what alcoholism was really about. And it really started to hit home that it could be, I was quite young at the time. I think it was in 2001. I'm 41 now. My maths is not that great, but I was in my 20s anyway. And I was quite young, so I guess potentially I still had a good decade of drinking ahead of me, but if I wanted it. But it really scared me, and some of the stories I heard from some of the counsellors and some of the other recovering alcoholics, that people actually die from this. People get completely drunk and get into accidents, or they commit crimes. They wind up in prison for crimes I can't remember committing. Just all these horrible stories. I mean, my life hadn't been that bad. My alcohol drinking hadn't been anywhere near as that bad. I hadn't gotten into any major accidents. I hadn't committed any major crimes. But it just got steadily worse. For me, I guess I hit a rock bottom eventually. I stole money off this crippled person. And for me, that was it. That was the worst. And it just, I've been to meetings. I didn't like meetings, I'll be honest. I didn't like them when I first came here. I thought they were terrible. I thought they were horrible, and I didn't like people in the rooms. But I thought I just hit a rock bottom where I just thought, I'll crack eggs open on my bare feet if that's gonna get me sober. I was just wanting to do just about anything. So I came back into the rooms, and I managed to get sober. And for me, it was just, what's next after stealing money off someone who's got a disability? Am I going to start robbing old ladies in the street? What am I going to start doing? And it was all to get money to get drunk and use drugs. So I got clean and sober, and it's just made all the difference. It's made all the difference, and I've been clean and sober now for several years. It hasn't always been easy. And
I still have to face challenges. I still face challenges in life. I don't always do the right thing. I still make mistakes. I still do stupid things. I still look back and think, why did I do that or why did I say that? And this is, you know, just me sober. But, you know, add alcohol or drugs into the mix and I'm just a complete mess. And anything that I do in sobriety looks like a walk in the park, quite frankly. So has this made all the difference getting sober? The other thing it comes down to is I just can't... I had a real resentment when I first came in that I was an alcoholic. But I just... what it comes down to is I just can't handle drinking in a civilised manner. I can't just go out and have a beer or a glass of wine. I just can't do it, you know. I can argue about it until the cows come home. At the end of the day, it's just something I can't do. I just cannot drink in a responsible manner. And if I want to have a respectable sort of a life, if I want to have a reasonable life where, you know, I've got clean clothes and my rent's all paid, my bills are all paid, and I have I'm maybe employable for a job, I have to do it without alcohol. I just can't function with alcohol. That's as simple as that. And it took me a while to get to the stage to realise that that was the truth and that there was an answer. And, I just started going to meetings and I got the help I needed and I'm sober. I couldn't have done it without the meetings. I couldn't have done it without my own. I still need to go to meetings as well to stay sober. I can't do it on my own still. That's about things in a nutshell. So thanks for listening, and I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. So just a reminder, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on Air Wellington. We're broadcasting on Wellington Access Radio, which is 106.1 FM, and I will ask Dan to share.
Thanks, Victoria. I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, great to be in here in the studio with the Saturday Night Fever boys, and I'm just, you know, like just to say it's not just a men's meeting, there are women that go to that meeting as well. But yeah, I've enjoyed the sharing, and as always, you always hear something that you need to hear or that you just get reminded of, you know. And what really stood out for me is that, like, I didn't choose to be an alcoholic. Like, it wasn't like, you know, one of my lifelong dreams to lose control of my drinking, you know, and have to admit that. And have to, stagger into the rooms of AA, broken, and admit that I had a problem. I couldn't handle alcohol. I mean, that wasn't like an aspiration of mine when I was growing up. In fact, alcohol did a lot for me in the early days. You know, it helped me, feel like I mean, I felt great when I even just. In the middle of the first drink, or just even knowing that I was going to have a drink, gave me a lift, and I'd walk around, I didn't even have to have a skinful. It was like, it sort of just gave me that feeling of ease and comfort, you know, that we hear about, and there's little passages in the big book that of AA that we sort of relate to, but like alcohol gave me that feeling, and I could walk around and I could talk to people and I could engage and be funny, or at least I thought I was funny, and be the sort of person, the really cool dude that I really thought I wanted to be. And I used to walk into bars and parties and things where people were drinking and just feel at home. Like, walked into a bar, hear the glasses clinking and the people talking and the music, and smell the smells and think I'm at home. This is my comfort zone, my happy place, and and I didn't see anything wrong with that. Of course, there were things that were going wrong, like, I would not turn up to things the next day because I'd get drunk. I'd spend money that was set aside for other things, on alcohol. I would be unreliable. I would focus my energies on drinking events rather than any other events. I wouldn't hang out with people that didn't drink because they were boring. My total focus was, I worked hard and I needed to work hard because I needed money to, so I could pay my rent, so I'd have somewhere to plug in my fridge, so that I'd somewhere to store my beer. So, I was living so that I could drink the way I wanted to drink, and but I had the semblance of living a life as well. I was still doing other things. It looked like I was engaging in life, and you know, I was to a certain extent. But yeah, another thing that really stood out for me today is, you know, is honesty, and I wasn't really being honest with myself, and I wasn't being honest with a lot of other people in my life either. And when I'd reached the point, because I went to AA when I was 20, went to a few meetings, and decided that everyone in the rooms was worse than me, and I hadn't reached the point where I was wanting to stop at the age of 20, so I didn't. And I came back in when I was, you know, like 16 years later, at the age of 36. But, you know, the when I was 20, the seed had been sown. Like, I'd never tried to, I'd never really made an honest attempt to stop or moderate before. Like, I'd never, you know, I stopped drinking for 6 months once. And that was on medical advice. The doctor said to me, you know, we're not sure what's caused your issues, either a problem with my heart. They said, we recommend you don't drink because, you know. And so I didn't for 6 months. And then a week before I was meant to go back to see him, I had a big bender. And then I went back to see him, and he said to me, whatever you've been doing, keep doing it. And every time I say that in an AA meeting, everyone laughs because everyone knows what I did. It wasn't the 6 months of abstinence that I did, you know, that's what he meant. But for me, that was an excuse to go drinking again, because whatever I've been doing, keep doing it. I just had a bender the week before, so there I was back in the pub. And, you know, people would you know, see me in the pub and approach me and say, oh, I thought you went drinking. Oh, well, you know, it's fine now and whatever. I was eventually given the all clear like 2 years later, but, yeah, it's just, why would I, you know, gamble with my health like that? But I did. This is sort of, my drinking didn't make any sense. It was insane, the stuff that I was doing, and I knew it was hurting myself and other people, but I'd just keep doing it because I had to, because it's like it was a compulsion, and I couldn't see any other way. That was, it's almost like I painted myself into a corner as being, I'm the drunk guy. I remember waking up on a Saturday afternoon, or Saturday late morning, knowing I was going to have to get drunk that night again because there was some party I had to go to or some event that I couldn't miss. And, not wanting to because I was hungover and I didn't feel like drinking, but knowing I just had to somehow get through it and do it. But now it's like since I've come into AA, I don't have that millstone of alcohol around my neck anymore. And I've got, I already know what freedom is. You know, I've got freedom to make different choices and different decisions and start to live the sort of life that I always wanted to live. And, but I couldn't quite get there because, my brain was so fogged and was been talked about, like, wasn't only when I was drunk either. Like, my brain was addled even between drinks. And I realized that a few months after not drinking and looking back on some of the decisions that I'd made, they weren't decisions I'd made when I was actually drunk on alcohol, but they were decisions that I'd made, you know, might have been in the middle of the week where I hadn't had a drink that day, but my way of thinking was so warped and poisoned by the amount of drink, you know, alcohol I'd been drinking. But yeah, I don't have that problem today. It's like, I've got a different life. I mean, you know, getting sober is the best thing I've ever done too, you know. It's like, It's incomparable. It's like, I'm glad I've had my old life because it enables me to help others now, and it makes me realise that I don't want to go back to what I had because I don't want it, you know. I know, like, I gave drunkenness a try, and, I've spent a good 21 years probably, giving active alcoholism a try. And I've given, sobriety a try for coming up 7 years. And, I'm going to keep giving it a try because it seems to be working for me. But the beauty of it is it only has to be a day at a time, you know. I only have to do this thing for one day at a time. The only thing I've got to worry about now is the time between now when my head hits the pillow tonight, you know. And I think the fact that I've been to a meeting today, I've listened to some really good sharing, means that chances are I might not have a drink today, you know, and for that I'm grateful to AA and all the people in it. So, yeah, thanks for asking me to share.
Thanks, Dan. And thanks to everyone in the Saturday Night Fever meeting who came and shared with us today. So if you would like to hear more experience, strength and hope, you can go to the Saturday Night meeting in person. It's at 6 p.m. St. Mary of the Angels Church, Bullcott Street in Wellington. Or you can listen to this and other podcasts like it online at aa.org.nz, iTunes or Access Radio website, or you can look online and go to a meeting in person. So thank you everyone for your experience, strength and hope. So I'll close the sharing and we will close the meeting with a serenity prayer. Thank you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding the Access Internet Radio Project.